Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers TaylorMade from Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. This week on TaylorMade, the coach discusses the exciting victory over McAllister College and what he expects from St. Thomas this week. He provides some insights into Halloween costumes for a fan. And is there a sport that Rob could beat the coach in? Let's find out on TaylorMade. Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have any team updates for us?
Good to be back. Before I even get into team updates, man, I just got to send out some wishes to, I lost a family, a close friend of the family last week. So just to the Wright family, my heart goes out to those guys. Very close to them, grew up with them. I wouldn't be in the position I am today. I spent a lot of time over there playing football and toughing up a little bit. So I just want to make sure that they know my heart and my thoughts are with them as they go through this tough time of them losing their brother, which was a brother to me too as well. So.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, Coach.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. It kind of puts a lot in perspective. You sit around here, you're down after a tough Buena Vista loss, and then you're up, you're very excited about McAllister, but there's a lot of other things going on in the world, man. People are really dealing with real issues versus, we lose a game, we get real down about it. So it's a lot bigger than football. So just want to take some time and, let my heart and my family and my wishes go out to that family, man, because, they're super close, man. We grew up like brothers, so they lost a brother, so I lost one too. So, just wanted to make sure I say that. And then, as far as team updates, guys are good, excited about the big win. That's a big win for the whole university, not just the football program. President, we're excited, AD, everybody, family, friends. Anytime you win, it's like that. But when you play in a rivalry game and there's a traveling trophy, it puts a little bit extra on it. So, I'm just happy that thing is back. And, on to 1-0 last week, so we're going to be 1-0 this week. So.
Well, let's talk about that big victory over McAllister College. What were your thoughts on the team's overall performance?
Gritty. Coming off of the way we lost week one, come back and fight and stay in it, man. It says a lot about the young people, a lot of the young people, and I stress the young people on our team because our team is super young, man. Half of our team is new, so that's tough. But a lot of penalties, man. We have to cut the penalties. We got to get the kicking game straight. A guy takes a knee, and that's a senior that does it. So just, foolish things. We got to clean it up, man, So just a little bit disappointed with the penalties and the punt that, took a knee and ended up going into, flipping the field, and they end up scoring off of that. So happy about the win, but a lot of things we can improve on. We, as coaches, we got to get that right, so.
Connor Levins threw for 4 touchdowns and nearly 300 yards for you last week. It looked like that was a big confidence booster for the junior.
Yeah, man, it was good to see Connor to do that. You're coming out of training camp. It's always tough it's always hard to gauge coming out of camp because it looks good in camp, but again, you're not getting hit. Doesn't look good in the first game because he doesn't have an opportunity because, we have to get the protection correct, which we finally, so we're starting to get on the right track. And then, we get the protection correct, and then he stands back there and he does a lot of good things, man. We have some weapons, and he got the ball out, and he got it to the right place, and we got our protection set a lot of the time. So it was good to see him have some success. And the thing about him is he hasn't played football in 3 years, that was good for him to get out there and have some success in the big rival game. So I'm excited and continue to keep watching him grow.
You talked about this a little bit, the challenges of your kicking game this last weekend. Are there things you can do to try to fix that up?
You know what? As coaches, I look at it like this. Did I ever put that kid in that situation where he gets a low ball and he bends versus putting his knee down? No. So I can't be upset with him. That's 100%. I take full responsibility for that. And you'd like to think, my grandfather was big on saying common sense is, common sense can take you around the world. And he was a super smart guy. But, I can't assume guys know that. So, what did we do this week? Worked on throwing the ball low to the punters and then bending at the waist and the knees versus putting their knee down and be acting like a shortstop. And, we got a coach that got to take responsibility. So I take responsibility with that. So things like that, you got to just continue to keep trying to put them in those situations, man. So, we have some challenges there. We got to continue to keep working through them, and we will.
One thing that really stood out to me in watching the game was those last 10 minutes. Well, your defense really came up with a gutsy performance when it mattered the most.
Wow, yeah. Our defensive coordinator, Tim Yerson, did a good job of, so many young guys out on the field just, getting them in the right position to make a play or two, and it came down. And, if you're watching it, it came down to the McAllister quarterback throwing the ball up in the end zone. And, I mean, I'm holding my breath, man. That thing gets not batted into somebody's hands. I've seen that happen before. You know, so with that being said, you know, you got to give credit to the coach for having the guys in the right spot, and you know, looking forward to watching our defense continue to grow because we're super young. So.
Players of the game.
Yeah, players of the game defensively was Adrian Krakalici. He's a junior corner for us. Did a really good job of open field tackling. Our offensive player of the game, we split it. Connor Levins and Tristan Thomas. Tristan Thomas had over 100 yards receiving. Connor Levins 4 touchdowns. So those two guys did a good job. And in special teams, we had a freshman come in, a punter, Cole Cummings. After our senior made that mistake, put a freshman in there, he shanked the first punt. And then late in the game, he got off a 61-yard punt, man. So, I mean, we named him Special Teams Player of the Game. So it was good to see him have some success. So it was good.
This weekend, you take on St. Thomas, always a tough game of the year. How do you prep your team for this contest?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I just, you know, just getting out of meetings, just talking about, you know, I'm a history buff. So I'd always kind of look back in the past and just see where we stubbed our toe at before, right? So, you know, St. Thomas, first of all, Caruso, man, I got a lot of respect for that guy, man. He does a good job of having his ball club ready to go. They're very well coached. You know, they got some good football players over there, man. So with that being said, what you have to do is, you know, you just got to limit the mistakes. You know, I talked to the team about playing one play at a time. You know, don't help them out. What do I mean by that? Penalties, you know, block kicks, you know, getting off the field defensively on third and on fourth down. You know, make sure we have two hands on the ball so, you know, we're not fumbling. Covering punts. I mean, those are the things I look back history from 2016, 17, 18 killed us. You know, and then the score gets out of hand and it just looks super bad where if we play a clean game, you know, we can be in it and it could be a situation where McAllister, where it's a close game back and forth. But, you know, we just haven't had that around here in a while. So I'm just harping on the team about doing those things. And you got to play those guys fearlessly, man. You got to go into that thing, you know, knowing that if you do what you need to do, right, we'll be looking around in the first quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, like, okay, we're in this game versus it's out of hand by the halftime. So, you know, one play at a time, don't help them out and play fearless. So,
is it kind of hard to build up your emotions for a game like that? I mean, you had such a huge victory against a big rival last weekend, and now you have to welcome St. Thomas. I feel that's kind of an emotionally draining thing.
It is, because, you know they're going to come in here ready to roll. Right, Mayock play opens up, so everything ramps up with Mayock opening up. But you know what? Our guys, man, they're resilient. And again, Rob, with half of our team being young guys, they don't know. They don't know what they don't know. They're just ready to play whoever they play on Saturday, which I love that about this football team. They're ready to go, man. So.
Well, let's head into fan questions this week, and we start with Clark, who says, Coach, what is to the challenge of trying to build a cohesive team, building chemistry and understanding of this game, developing relationships, when you have to face the reality of rebuilding your roster every 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, man, that's the challenge. And, Clark, you could even take it a step further. You know, sometimes I look, you know, coming off of my first year, 5-5, you know, big roster, we lost so many kids that just quit for whatever reason, financial, injury, homesick, you know, so it's really tough, Clark. Like, it's tough to even sometimes, how do you get better when you can't get older? You know, so I'd love to have had all those seniors right now, my first recruiting class, I would love to have all 24 of those guys right now, or even 18 of them. I only have 7 of those guys left. You know, so you can do it. It's just you got to keep those guys around so then you can build a team cohesion and chemistry, and you can do those things in the relationships. That's the elite teams in this league. You look at their senior classes, man. I bet you they're about 20, 25 guys that are seniors, man, because you keep those guys around, man. So it's just, and it's football like everywhere. I talk to my buddies at the Division I level. They got kids quitting and leaving for reasons, too. So it's not just at their level. It's tough to keep those guys. So that's a really good question.
We remain with Clark, who says, what does it take for yourself and the coaching staff to be patient when your job is on the line each week, but you know you have such a talented group of sophomores and freshmen?
Prayer. No,
that's a good answer.
I don't know. You know, you just got to try to. You got to try your best to. Well, one, when you have a great administration that is supportive and believes in you, it makes it a little bit easier. But you got to have, you know, you got to have a little bit of faith and just know that, you know, the 2018 class, who are the sophomores, are really good, and a lot of those guys are back. The 19s. We had nobody quit, and they're good. So we just got to put a 2020 class together. And then, you know, the way I look at it is when I was here as an assistant, was just like 2013, 14, 15. That 2015 class really helped us get over the top in 2016. I really feel like our 2020 class that we're recruiting right now is going to be like that one. So just a little bit of patience, and, you know, we got to just continue to keep, you know, trying to retain our guys by, you know, treating them the right way and coaching them the right way and, you know, having some success. And winning that game last week is now you got a little bit of proof that what we're doing is working. So it was good for that win was huge for our program. So
Ed would like to know if there are times when you thought to yourself it was better to have just been an assistant coach.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I can go both ways with it. I know when I was an assistant at Bucknell, you know, I remember getting to that place and, you know, had a great head coach, Joe Susan, and I was able to watch how he maneuvered and all the things he had to deal with. And I said, man, I'm not sure if I want to be a head coach. And then when I came as a defensive coordinator, it was nothing I was actively pursuing. You know, I wanted to go from a position coach to coordinating to become a better football coach, X's and O's and schemes. And then when the opportunity came to be a head coach, you know, kind of, you know, it just was the right timing, the right administration. Like, people have heard me talk about President Miller on this show a lot. You know, I mean, that's a perfect person to work for, and our athletic director, Jason Verdugo, is super dynamic and sharp, and he understands what football needs and our challenges. So it kind of, you know, I wasn't actively searching and putting my name out there for head coaching jobs. Kind of, you know, it was a blessing for me to be in the spot. So, you know, our times, though, it's funny when some of my assistant coaches who have been head coaches, they'll come in my office and then they'll leave. And they say, man, I'm glad I'm not a head coach anymore. it's a lot, man. It's a lot of responsibility running the program. I enjoy it. I attack it every day. And I'm fortunate to be the head coach, and I just want to get this thing back to where I know it can be. So,
we have a few questions from Andre. The first is, Coach, I know you have a lot of stuff going on during the season. Hope it isn't wasting your time asking you questions about the Eagles.
Dre, man, if you have no idea how much stuff I got going on right now. Man. We got so many moving parts to it, but I look forward to answering one or two questions about the Eagles or the Phillies or the Flyers, so please don't stop the questions, man. It gives me makes me a little less homesick when I hear from my guy Drake, so it's all good.
He would like to know, is your love for the Eagles just because you are a Philly guy?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I mean, think back to the early days, right? You go to church on Sunday. You go to your grandmother's house, you know, you have your cousins and then your uncles over there. You know, you probably can't sit on the couch because they're older and bigger, so they're sitting on the couch, so you're sitting on the floor. You turn the Eagles game on, you're watching Reggie White, Jerome Brown, and Randall Cunningham, and Chris Carter. I mean, I remember I cried when Chris Carter left Philadelphia. So just growing up in Philly and always watching the games, Mike Quick spoke at my 6 year when I was I played Pop Warner. For Ivy Hill back in Philadelphia. And he spoke at our banquet, like they're starting receiver for the Eagles. You know, so I mean, just when you're around it, you're going to be, you're just going to naturally become a Philadelphia guy. So, yeah, just, you know, being from Philadelphia, growing up, you know, the majority of my life in South Jersey, you know, you go to South Jersey, that's all Eagles fans. So, yeah, just, you know, just part of it is just the way.
Chris Carter, I still never understood getting rid of him because all he did was score touchdowns. I thought that's the objective, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, as a kid, I remember when he left, I didn't understand it, but as I got older, like, it sounds like he had to leave. Like, he had a lot. He had a drinking. I got a lot going on. Chris Carter had a lot going on, man. Like, he had to get his life together, sounds like. So coming to Minnesota was a good thing for me. I still followed him when he went to the Vikings, but yeah, he had to leave Philly, so and I didn't understand that as a young kid, but as I got older, I said, oh, okay, that makes sense.
He would also like to know, what did you think of the Phillies spending all that money on Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I mean, that's the business, right? You know, you got to spend it to make it, so I mean, they're trying to get themselves into the playoff run, and that's a good player, so, you know, that's the going rate for that type of player, so I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just the way at that level, so I have no issues with it, and I haven't been following him too close. I don't know been producing for what he's making, but you know, I know the name. I know he's a big name, so hopefully he can get it going.
Next up is Tony, who says, you talked about being a fan of Deion Sanders growing up. How about a little dap for Ty Law and Champ Bailey, both of whom just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I actually got a chance to watch those guys speak to. So again, man, yeah, Deion Sanders, you know, outstanding player. Ty Law, I remember him at Michigan. I remember Champ Bailey at Georgia. I mean, I have some players that come to my office and, you know, freshmen, they don't know. Coach, can I play two positions? Well, my standard for guys playing two positions are like Deion Sanders. He played offense and defense. You know, Champ Bailey, I remember him playing offense, defense at Georgia. Hines Ward, I believe, did it at Georgia too. So that's the standard. I'm like, so when a guy comes in, I'm like, listen, you need to learn how to play one position first before you want to play receiver and DB. You know, so those guys are good football players. So yes, I left them out, but I remember Ty Law and Champ Bailey very well. Good football players.
Debbie would like to know, what is it about football that has your son so against it?
Oh, you know what, Debbie? We had a heart-to-heart this summer. He's 14 years old. I just asked him. I said, Chris, I said, well, yo, talk to me, man. What's going on, man? Why don't you want to play football? He said, he looked at me, honestly. He said, Dad, I don't want to get hit. I started laughing so hard, man. And I said, you know what? That's fair.
Absolutely.
That is fair, man. You know, it's okay. Football is not for everybody. Some guys enjoy that. And, you know, some guys don't want any part of it. You know, he likes basketball and he does good in school. So that's all I really care about, man. It's good, you know. So it was funny. But, Ms. Debbie, it's good that you asked that question because I had to ask him just, I never really asked, hey, why aren't you interested in football? Why don't you want to play? He said, Dad, you know, I don't want to get hit. I said, well, you don't want to hit anybody? He said, nope. So he ain't interested.
Sounds like a smart young man. Peter says, Coach, I'm not trying to be a wise guy. I am asking, I guess, because just out of ignorance or lack of understanding, can't it be funny to dress as a person from another race? Like, is it really offensive if I, as a white person, were to go as Kanye West at a party? With Halloween coming up, I just want to make sure I'm doing things right.
Wow, Peter, that's a very layered, deep question. I don't think it's bad. You can go as Kanye West. You can go as whoever you want. You know, I would encourage you to I would encourage you to stay away from, you know, the face paint. You know, I think that's still a sensitive subject for a lot of people. And you know, not to indulge too much on the show, but you know, there's a lot of avenues that you can go look up. Blackface or any kind of, you know, any kind of thing like that. You can do some research and find out why it would be offensive for some people. So, you know, you can go as anybody you want, but I would just probably stay away from, you know, I would definitely stay away from, you know, the painting of the faces. You know, just try to find a super, super pretty girl and put on your arm and say, hey, I'm Kanye West and this is Kim Kardashian. And I think everybody will know exactly who you are, man. So, good.
There you go. Dan would like to know, what is a topic you don't like to talk about?
What is a topic you don't like to talk about? I usually probably stay away from politics, religion, you know, just kind of keep those things, you know, just kind of buttoned up. But, you know, for the most part, I'll talk about anything, you know, so.
He would also like to know, what is the thing you like to do most with your family?
Definitely, like, with being in Minnesota, you know, water's close all the time around here. So, like, jet skis, my son loves to go jet skiing, loves to be out on the boat fishing. Go-karting, found a spot down in, I want to say it was Burnsville, that had like these super fast go-karts that we had a blast on in the summertime. So those things are things I like to do with the family. Go-karting, fishing, jet skiing, boating, fishing, all those things are fun.
Christine says, don't I have the right to be upset if my husband lost his wedding ring and he doesn't seem to care that he did?
Oh, Miss Christine, yeah, that is a no-no. Like, that is the shield, right? That's the shield to keep all the riffraff away when he's out and about without you. So we definitely got to get that buttoned and tightened up, Miss Christine. So yeah, let's find that ring, or we might have to get another one, and let's make sure he puts that ring on. So
Adam wants to know, my wife does not like our boys roughhousing and wrestling. She keeps telling me I need to tell them to stop. Am I wrong, or is that just the kind of stuff boys do?
Oh, man, Adam, again, this is tailor-made, so this is just coming from my vantage point, man. You got to put your foot down, man, and roughhousing is okay. Okay, roughhousing is all right, man. I think that's why some of these guys that I get at this point are a little soft because there wasn't enough roughhousing going on. So I would push and fight for that one, Adam, and they need to wrestle, and they need to wrestle with you, and they need to, you know, they need to break something every now and again in the house, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's healthy. I think that's what our society is missing these days, is more roughhousing. So I say go for it.
Amanda says, what did your dad think about you becoming a football coach?
Oh, Miss Amanda, that's a good question. I never asked him that. I don't know. I think he's proud. You know, I mean, he gets to a game every year. And I think he's going to be at homecoming. I mean, I think if I would say, I would have to ask him, but I would say I'm guessing for him and speaking for him, I think it'd be kind of cool to see his son as, you know, the head coach now when we don't win. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably not proud of that. But, you know, the fact that, you know, I'm trying to have a positive effect on other people's lives, I think he's proud of that. But my dad is the type of person, man, I always saw him going to work every day, and he was happy at what he did. And he always would tell me, hey, man, just make sure you find something, that, find a job that you would do, even if you weren't going to get paid, you know. And I saw him love work. So, you know, if I was sweeping streets, if I was working at a bank, if I was an engineer or a doctor, he'd be proud. So, I don't necessarily know if it's just because I'm a coach. It's just, you know, I think you'd be proud of your kids when they're doing something successful and they can sustain themselves on their own. You know, you're not 38 years old and you're living at home. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with that if there's anybody that's living at home. But I think you, as a parent, you always want to make sure your kids are going to be good when you're not around. So I think from that standpoint, I think he is, you know, pretty happy about what I'm doing. So.
But there's probably only like 300 college head coaching jobs in football out there. That says a lot. You're one of them. You know, you got to like that.
It's a blessing. So.
Greg says, they say that brilliant people have terrible handwriting. That must mean yours is illegible.
Illegible. Meaning
that you can't write. Yeah, you can't write it at all. Yeah, you can't write it at all.
Oh, yeah. I think that's, yes, mine is terrible. So, yeah, here you go. But it's not good.
So. See, proof for brilliant people. Absolutely. David, like to know, Coach, do you think Rob could beat you in any sport?
I think Rob could beat me in any sport. You know what? I don't know if I can answer that, but I've never seen Rob do anything from an athletic standpoint. So I don't want to take anything away from him because I enjoy doing the show. So I don't want him to not do the show anymore. So I'm going to say not applicable. I can't answer the question. I don't know. I can't answer that one. So.
I think I have a little more girth on you. So maybe sumo wrestling.
that
might be my one opportunity. And why is it good to be a Piper?
It's great to be a Piper. Again, you know, coming off of a big win, bringing the bucket back to Hamlin's campus, and actually the bucket's sitting in President Miller's office right now, which was good. And, you know, we got another opportunity, man. We start Mike Play. We got a very talented, well-coached St. Thomas team coming in. And just look forward to seeing our guys. The challenge is, you know, let's take it one play at a time, and let's play our style of play, and let's not give them anything, man. Let's let them earn everything that they get. So I'm excited to see if our guys can live up to the challenge and get ready to roll for Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. Thank you. Catch you next time.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.